Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight and turn to Isaiah chapter 58 as we are continuing our messages involving the subject of fasting. And I believe that this is something that perhaps you, as has happened with me, has opened your eyes a little bit to see how significant a doctrine this is in God's Word, and how many different places and stories that we often think of and we'll talk about in Sunday school and in church that include the subject of fasting. Most of us know the story of Esther, and many of the ladies of our church have oft read that book and thought of a courageous woman. And yet, how many of you recounted the fact that there was a period of fasting that preceded her entrance in unto the king? Often we talk about David, and yet there were many seasons in his life where he went through a period of fasting to afflict his soul. Sometimes it was crying out to God in the behalf of others, and sometimes it was for personal needs. Sometimes it was an act of contrition to God and to show a penitential spirit. But there's much in God's Word about the subject of fasting. And here in Isaiah chapter 58, we're going to continue on. Now, I'm going to take the time to read the chapter to you, and I'll read it quickly, but I want us to kind of hit the reset button so we're all right here, because some of the next major points that we deal with come right out of our primary text here in Isaiah 58, and I want us to get it all. So, verse number 1 of Isaiah 58, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with a fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, the speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on thy holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Father, tonight I pray that You would use me to be an instrument of Your grace and truth to Your people. I pray that You would nurture us in the faith and add to us that which can truly be transformative and, Lord, truly lead us to victory in the hour of trial and difficulty. For this we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus and for His glory. Amen. Nobody likes to think about going hungry. In fact, it's one of my least favorite things in the world to do. That is go hungry. You know, sometimes I think about what I enjoy doing the most. And among all the things I really like doing, I enjoy eating. And I can tell some of you do enjoy it quite well also. You enjoy it and you do it quite often also. But, you know, listen. The Bible is very clear on this matter that the Lord, when He spoke to His disciples, did not say, if you should someday decide that you want to have a fast, here's what you do. No, He presumed that it would be a part of their daily life. It would be a part of their religious practice and not just a religious ritual or something ceremonial that they did, like on Ramadan, the Muslims will have a period of fasting. But it was something that had great meaning, and it was something that moved the heart and the hand of God, and it had a profound effect upon the one who was fasting. And I believe today that we need to see that the Lord said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16, when ye fast, be not as the Pharisees. He didn't say if you fast. It was already assumed that we were going to do it. And as we understand that, we look at the fact that it involves a denial. Fasting, obviously, is a denial of the flesh. All fleshly pleasures. The pleasure of food. The pleasure of physical intimacy with your spouse. The pleasure of sleep at times. It involves the denial of self. Denying self-interest and the way that I would choose to live and spend my days in favor of what God would have for me. We find, however, it is not a denial or a putting away of doing good. It's not a season for you to be derelict in your work. It's not a time for you to put away time with family. For the Bible is very explicit here in Isaiah chapter 55 that it says that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. So in the day of our fasting, we're not going to go away from our family and deny them the benefit of our fellowship and our encouragement in their lives. So we see that fasting involves a denial, but not a denial of everything. There are a lot of people that go to prayer hostels, that go off into caves and places where they fast, and they separate themselves entirely from people. But really a biblical fast, although there may be seasons of aloneness during a period of fasting, it's not going to be the type of thing where that you always are away from folks, because that's what the Pharisees did. They often wanted people to know they were fasting so that others might think more highly of them because they did it. It involves a devotion, not only a denial, but a devotion of ourselves to the Lord, that we may not seek pleasure of the flesh in the day of our fast, and that we would not seek recognition for the fast, not so that others would say, hey, that person's fasting. Look how spiritual they are. Look at what they're doing. Man, isn't that hard? They must be really committed to Jesus. And some people like to do that and tell everybody, you know, pray for me, I'm fasting, you know, and I'm praying about this. And really, they're not wanting people to pray for them nearly as much as they want people to know that, hey, I'm a spiritual giant in your midst here, and you need to appreciate what God delivered to you in the gift of me. You know, and there are people that get that way and they get lifted up within themselves. And the Lord has decried that spirit of pride that pervaded the Pharisees in the season of fasting. He spoke out against it here with the people of Judah. And it's not so that we can get a hold of the horns of the mercy seat and finally get God's attention on some things that we need Him to be about doing for us. No, it's not that our voice would be heard on high, it said. It's more that we might hear from heaven than that heaven hear from us. Prayer, we often say, is talking to God. But you know, most of our idea of a conversation is a monologue and not a dialogue. How many of you know what I'm talking about? There are people who say, hey, let's go out for coffee and talk. And they seem to do all the talking, right? Good thing I like coffee. You know what I'm saying? Because occasionally you'd like to add your two little cents in, but you never get the opportunity to do that with some folks. And you know what? I think that prayer is a conversation with God. And if you think it's a conversation, then guess what? It's a dialogue. That means it's two ways, not all one way. It's not a monologue of me coming to the Lord and just telling Him all this stuff and then walking away and saying, there you have it, God, you know. But no, it's me being still before the Lord. When was the last time you went into prayer just so you could hear from God? Did you ever think of that? If we say that prayer is talking to God, it's not just talking to Him, it's also listening to Him. And fasting gives us an opportunity and an occasion to do just that. So much that we could say. It involves a dependence upon God where we throw ourselves at His mercy. It involves a desire. And we talked about this last week where that in the book of Ezra, we read where that the people had told everyone that the Lord is going to deliver us. And so because they had done that, you know what? They didn't want to go and solicit the pagan countries and kings to be their allies in battle because they said, God's going to deliver us. And they didn't want to undermine what they said with their mouth by the action of their life. And so they fasted before the Lord. And guess what? The Lord was entreated and He delivered Israel without the use of allied armies. Because of a passionate desire to live what they believe and to demonstrate to the world that God loves His people and He's going to care for them. And we say that so much and then we don't live it. We get all panicky when trouble comes. You ever notice that? You know, we're the first ones to tell someone, oh, well, brother, you need to go to Philippians chapter 4, you know, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. And you know what? We say, listen, that means worry about nothing, but pray about everything. And brother, let me give you some advice. What you need to do is you need to quit this worrying stuff. And you need to go to the Lord in prayer. You know what, you stinking pious gas bag? Why don't you take your own advice? You know, because we want to tell everybody, you need to pray about this and quit worrying about it. Because worry is sin. It's sin. You know what, I'm telling you, spitting on the sidewalk, that's sin. And worrying, that's sin. So we need to quit worrying. We need to be about praying. Amen. And then you know what? We get the pink slip. And you know what happens? After we wet our pants for worry, we go running around. What are we going to do? You know, let's call the parents. Oh, no. What are we going to do? And you know what? It's like, where's God? Where is He? Huh? You know, we're great at telling everybody what they need to do, but we have a little problem. You know, it's like, I got a pain in my side. Pastor, I think it's cancer. It's cancer. Well, how do you know? You haven't been to the doctor? Well, it runs in my family. It's like, come on, man. I'm not making fun of cancer. I hate cancer. But you know what? I've had people come up, you know, and look, you know what the Lord revealed to me? That you had lunch at the old country buffet and it's not cancer, it's gas. You know, but we're freaked out about it, you know. But what, you know, worrying is sin, you know. And what you need to do, a little less worrying, a lot more praying, right? But when push comes to shove and it's time for us to deal with some difficult issues in our own life and deal with our own fears and anxieties, it's another thing, isn't it? And when you desire for God to be glorified in your life and for the world to see a demonstration of what you say with your mouth, that God is real, He's a living, breathing reality in your life, I wonder, is that what they see revealed in us when trouble comes? If the desire of your heart is to live what you believe and to say, God will deliver me, like the children of Israel did in the book of Ezra, when they said, we're not going to go to the pagan gods because we've told the world that God will see us through. And so instead of going to elicit all the help from the world, what they began to do was fast and pray. And guess what? God saw them through it. Isn't that fun? I think it is. I'm having a good time tonight. I just decided I was going to. I'm going to tell you this. Fasting involves a desire. It's a desire to have the mind of Christ. Let me show you something. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12. Hold your finger there in Isaiah 58. We're coming back. Let's go to 2 Samuel. We ended here last week with David in prayer, calling out to the Lord to deliver the child conceived in adultery. The Bible tells us here in verse number 20, David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive. When the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat. That was a little backward in their thinking. They thought, you know, when death comes, that's the time to mourn and be upset. Do you understand? That's how the world does it. But look at what he said in verse 22. He said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now is he dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. What a great passage of Scripture for those who have lost a child, to know that that child immediately goes in the arms of the loving Lord, and that one day we who know the Lord as Savior will see that child again. That's the great promise of the Scripture there. But what we find is that David was calling out to the Lord. And you know what? David made no demands of God. You know why? It says, who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious? He knew that if God was entreated with that request, it would only be the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I submit to you that the answer that came hither was the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ upon every family afflicted by the death of the child. And I believe it was the grace upon David's ministry because of the fact, or David's kingdom, because of the fact of all that ensued thereafter. And I believe that as an act of grace, God allowed for Solomon to be conceived from Bathsheba, for Solomon to be allowed of the Lord to build the temple. And it was through Bathsheba that the bloodline was preserved that brought us the Messiah, which was a supreme demonstration of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to understand something. When David came to the Lord, he made no demands. He was not in a position to make demands from God. You know what he did? He said, Lord, I don't know what you'll do, but whatever you do, you're God. I'd like for you to deliver this child. I don't know if you'll be gracious in this request, but your will be done. You know, that's how the Lord prayed. Not my will, but thy will be done. And do you know, the Bible tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, when you come to the hour of prayer, earnest, fervent prayer, the kind that the Lord was involved with in the Garden of Gethsemane, that was so strenuous a spiritual warfare, and the stress and in the intensity of it was so acute that blood proceeded from his pores. That's some stress. That is some serious stress. Now, the Lord prayed in earnest, and he knew what was ahead of him. And he said, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. And when you come to the season of fasting, it's not for you to take your best guess about how this should come turn out and tell it to God so it could happen that way. It's for you to say, Lord, I want to have your mind. I want your will above all else to be fulfilled in my life. And I want to tell you something. That's a hard thing to do when there's a lot of catastrophic stuff hanging in the balance. When you don't know whether the loan modification is going to go through or not. Say, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. When you don't know whether the surgery will be successful, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm crying out to you for your mercy and your grace. And I desire for you to be magnified in all things. And I desire to have your mind in this matter so that come what may, I'm at peace before thee. My soul is not in turmoil, because the one who is enthroned in my heart is the Prince of Peace, and he's in control. And I acknowledge that with my life. You know, there should be a spiritual that replaces the desire for the physical in the day of your fast. And I believe that as a practice, that's a great idea for us. I want you to see something else. Hold your place here in Isaiah 58, and let's go to Matthew chapter 17. Are you with me here? I know the air's a little heavy. It's kind of warm, but hang with me for a few minutes here, and we'll get something exciting. Okay. Matthew 17, verse 14. When they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. When the disciples came to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. I want you to see something. Fasting involves difficulty. We don't just, say, you got a flat tire, let's start fasting. No, that's not real difficulty. That's just a little bump in the road, right? That's just a little bump in the road. But when difficult things, catastrophic things, urgent difficulties arise in our life, it calls for fasting. When Satan is opposing you and you are standing at the base of Mount Desperation and there's no way over, under, or around, a fast is in order. It's only God that can get you to the other side. When we realize that, look, my loved one is hanging in the balance between the living and the dead, and God alone can deliver them. And who knows whether He'll be gracious to my request. And we begin to cry out to the Lord. We understand this is a difficult situation. And my acknowledgement of that is in the fact that I am coming to the Lord recognizing that Satan means this for destructive purposes, but God means it for good. And I'm coming in the name of Jesus, and I'm claiming the fact that I am seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus far above principalities and powers and princes and thrones and dominions, far above the dirty devil and the demons that would beset and oppose us. And I'm there and I'm acknowledging that, listen, in this situation, I need deliverance from God because I cannot deliver myself. I cannot do it. Have you ever been at that place? Some of you may feel that you're there now. That you've put out 1,000 resumes and you've been on 25 interviews and you've just gotten denied over and over again. And you think, I've put on my best outfit and I've combed my hair and I've done my best and I've studied and I've brushed up my resume and I don't know why I don't have a job. It seems like the devil is trying to destroy me. You know what? Have you tried fasting? Have you tried calling out to a God that can do anything but fail? Howbeit, this kind, what's this kind? Those demonic things that are meant for your destruction, those things that oppose you and that common, everyday, ordinary, workaday, occasional believers are never going to find victory over. But God is looking for a few folks that would have just a small measure of faith, just a mustard seed measure of faith, that would prostrate themselves before God and say, Lord, if deliverance would come, it would come at Your hand and none other. And I acknowledge that. And this is a difficult situation that I cannot deliver myself from. We find ourselves there. It is difficult to purge the body. It's painful to purge the body. It is painful to purge the soul of all that would beset it in this world. It's one of the things that I enjoy so much about going away with the men to Colorado for a week. Because we get away from the television. We get away from billboards. And we get away from periodicals. We get away from all of the pornography of the world that's thrown at us by Madison Avenue. And we get away from the radio and the music of the world. And we get away from the text messaging and the emailing. And we get away from the mail. And we get away from the newspapers. And we get away from the telephone. And we begin to immerse ourselves in the Word of God. And we remember what the Bible says in John chapter 15. Now ye are clean through the Word which is spoken unto you. And we begin to take a spiritual bath in the water of the Word of God. And to see a cleansing take place in our soul. And you know what fasting does? It denies the flesh any of that Madison Avenue nonsense. Any of that worldly nonsense. Any of the muck and the mire that the world wants to sully us up with. And it immerses itself in the bath of the Bible. And we recognize there's a cleansing that comes to my soul. You know what? That's not easy because we're so inclined to the way and the thinking of the world. It's difficult. Fasting is for difficult situations. This kind cometh not out, but by prayer and fasting. Do you have a difficult situation? I have. You have things that you just don't have an answer for? And all of the rhetoric and the emails that people are sending you with the soft music and the pretty flowers, the little bunnies, they're not quite getting it done for you. You know, and there's going to be a curse come on you because you don't forward that on to 100 people. Do you know how many curses I have on me right now? You should be frightened. Listen. Sometimes we think, well, you know, this is gonna be the thing that's gonna comfort you. Read this 3 times slowly, and your future will change. Listen. You know, sometimes it takes more than a mouse click. It takes for us to put down the spoon and the fork and to not fire up the coffee maker and take the car off the autopilot to McDonald's, shut off the television, and turn off the computer. Some of you are like, you have to go to a 12-step program for people addicted to the computer, you know. God, give me the strength, you know, just to hit the off button there, you know. And look, I know people are like that. You say, how do you know that, preacher? I get emails from people that are up like 3 o'clock in the morning. And I know they're not at work. And I'm thinking, what's up with all this? You know, what did we do before we had computers? Huh? We probably slept a little bit, I'm thinking, but maybe the birth rate went up, I don't know. But look, what I believe is this. It's difficult, but if you're in a difficult situation, difficult times call for these kinds of measures spiritually, where you weaken yourself so that the power of God may be magnified and He might be glorified. We're going to finish this up next week, and I'm excited. We'll finish it up almost entirely in chapter 58. There's so much great stuff in the last half of this chapter that relates to the subject of fasting that we need to take a hold of. But let's think about this. And I don't know about you, but I've got some heavy things. How many of you in this room have a burden on your heart that you wouldn't want to talk about in a public meeting, but it's something that you think about almost every waking hour and that you know falls within the category of difficulty? You know what? I think all of us have something like that. Something like that. You know what? I'm not... Listen. Some people say, well, Pastor, I'm hypoglycemic. If I don't eat, I'll die. Well, fine, eat. But turn off the computer. Turn off the television. Get rid of the periodicals. Put down the crossword puzzles. Don't take your walk with the dog. The things that you enjoy and take pleasure in for your flesh. If you have to eat, eat something simple without seasoning. I'm serious. People say, well, you know, I'm a diabetic. I have to eat or I'll die. Then eat. God knows. There are other things you can do to fast. I know some people that take cold showers so they don't have the physical comfort of warm water against their flesh. I know some people that wear uncomfortable clothing or loose-fitting clothing. Dark colored clothing, because they don't want to gratify their flesh. And I don't know what it is for you, but you do. And I believe that the Bible is eminently clear. And if we went back and we listened to all these, there's probably 6 or so of them so far on fasting, it would be an eye opener as we begin to see all the information that the Bible has about the fast day and how that we can prevail in spiritual conflict through means of fasting. And I pray that God might equip you to, at the appropriate time, utilize this in spiritual warfare, that you might experience a level of victory that apart from fasting, you might never have had. We all have difficulty. Fasting is for difficult situations. This kind of situation, the Lord said. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time to be in your house. Lord, I pray your grace upon each one. Lord, every hand nearly went up of folks that have said they've got a difficulty. And I pray, Lord, that in difficult times we would seek the Lord. And Lord, may we seek to know your heart and your mind and cry out that your will and not ours be done. And Lord, dismiss us with your grace, we pray. And bring us back into your house rejoicing in victory and knowing that souls have been saved because of our witness. And this we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. I love you. You're dismissed.